Good to have you along. Yours truly, Ron Stafford, keeping you company on another exciting edition of Musical Excellence. Yes, sir, we call it Duncan's Garage, and we are currently planning for fall 2018. You're like, Stafford, how can you do that? It's only, you know, like March or April. Hey, I book far in advance, my friend. There you go. rstafford@howardcc.edu. rstafford@howardcc.edu. We've interviewed some great local artists, and we're going national for the first couple of shows in our fourth season here. I told you about a great publicist in the Jennifer Shaw program most recently. She said, have you heard the name of Shannon Perry? And you know what? In my busyness of everything, I had not. I went to her website. This woman does it all. She sings. She writes. She does conferences. And she does it all with a heart for Jesus. It's absolutely fantastic. Shannon Perry, welcome to Duncan's Garage. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much, Ron. It is such an honor to be with you.
Thank you very much for that. Let's just go back. I'm looking here at the back of your book, because when I was looking at the bio that Gina had sent me, you didn't plan to be in full-time ministry, did you? Or did you?
Not one bit. You know, sometimes God has a very different plan. I always tell people I've kind of had two careers.
Okay.
And the first part of my career, I was a school teacher and a school counselor. That's all I wanted to be. Since the time I was 6 years old, I started asking for school supplies, and that was my dream, and I was able to work with kids as a youth director at camps and things like that. And kids were just always my passion, but I thought the only place I would ever really use my gifting is in the school system. And God called me out of that about 10 years ago and said, I've got a different plan for you. And I had no idea what I would be doing now, but I love it.
Interesting. Where was this teaching that you did?
I was teaching in a district in Houston,
okay.
In a little town called Cypress, right outside of Houston.
Sure.
And I taught first grade for 3 years, fifth grade for 5 years,
wow.
And then I was the school counselor of about 1,000 kids for 8 years.
Okay.
And so I always tell people I feel like that was my prepping ground, because God certainly allowed me to see all different kinds of things that families went through, all different things that kids went through.
Right.
And so, of course, I'm able to use that out there today with parents and with kids.
Exactly. Was there a distinctive call? Just talk about, you know, what made you go from teaching into, you know, writing and singing and all that.
That's a great story, Ron. The day that I decided, actually, I think my husband decided for me.
Okay.
I came home from work and he was complaining about his day. He said, oh, I've had a terrible day.
Right.
And I said, you had a bad day. I said, let me tell you about my day. The first minute that I got to work, I was called into the principal's office because I was told that we had had a little girl who had been kidnapped by her dad, that was her biological father, but he didn't have custody of her.
Oh, my word.
And we didn't know where she was, and the mother was hysterical. Then we got, because they were having a breakfast that morning, he snuck her out the back window before school started. And then I got another call that there was an angry dad in the gym swinging a jump rope at our principal, because he was mad because his daughter had accidentally gotten hit in the face by another child with a ball, and he came up to school because he was angry. And then I went back to my office and got a call that there was another mother and father who unfortunately and very tragically had been murdered in a deal gone wrong at their home.
Yeah.
And I had to go over and make sure the kids were gone. I said, now tell me about your day. And he said, and you're done. And that's pretty much the end of it. And my father was sick at that time, too, and so it made sense that I was gonna leave the school system early to take care of him.
Right.
But I remember, Ron, sitting on the end of my bed the day after I resigned from the system, and they were so gracious to let me go during that time in my life to help with my dad. And I remember sitting on the end of my bed and just crying and saying, Lord, what in the world? What am I supposed to do now besides take care of my father? You know, what's my life going to look like? And I had no idea. And I just started singing again. That's all I had ever really wanted to do was sing. Mm-hmm. And as I was going out and singing, people always said, do you ever speak anywhere? And I said, oh, no, I'm not a speaker. I am a singer. And then as I began speaking, they said, well, how about radio? Gina, you were talking about Gina earlier. Gina said, well, what about radio?
Huh.
And I said, no, I'm not a radio show host. I'm a singer and I'm a speaker. Then I had a nationally syndicated radio show that goes around the country now. And then they said, what about being an author? She said, you should write books. I said, no, I'm not an author. I'm a singer, speaker, and radio show host. And as you know, we're going to talk about the award-winning book, Stand. That's
yep.
My third book, and I've just finished my fourth book.
Wow.
And then they said, what about TV? And I said, I draw the line at TV. You've got to, you know, look perfect and
that's right.
Have it all together and all of that. And I said, I'm not a TV show host. I'm a singer, speaker, you know, writer, radio show host, and now that TV show goes into over 100 million homes. I always tell people I'm going to say I'm not a millionaire and see what happens. So things just happen the way that God wants them to happen.
Wow.
And so many times he has surprises in store for us.
Yeah. But
I look back and see how he prepared me for this walk, and it's just amazing how he works. He really does work all things together for our good.
Are you glad for all of this that has come your way? Or is it just, I mean, I know there are days that are just overwhelming when you're just juggling all of this, but are you glad that the Lord said, you know what, this is why I've called you?
I used to tell people when I first started, I quit every Monday. I said every Monday after I get off the road, I'd say, Lord, you got the wrong girl. Mm. I can't do this. This is overwhelming. But God has a way of showing us that if you'll just take one step at a time with me, I will show you I am more than enough. And that's exactly what he's done. And I have to tell you, I absolutely love what I do. What I have been called to do is nothing more than sharing the truth of God's word in people's lives that helps them live the life that he's called them to live, that for the purpose that he has called them to. Whatever season of life, whether they're younger, whether they're older, God has a purpose for all of us. And through what I have walked through, he's allowed me to share the truth of what I've experienced because of his word and his promises into the lives of others.
It's very, very well said. Let's take a quick break. I wanted to have you hear a song done by Shannon Perry, and Jeff Stice is on the piano on this one. Here's Till the Storm Passes By, done by Shannon Perry on Duncan's Garage.
In the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place? Amid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder it sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand, and keep me safe till the storm passes by. Now when the long night it has ended and the storms they come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright and peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes, Lord, may I dwell with thee till the storm. It sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand, and keep me safe till the storm passes by. Just keep me safe till the storm passes by.
And you just heard a wonderful song done by Shannon Perry. Again, she joins me now by phone. Her version of Till the Storm Passes By. Shannon, what's the background story on this? This has a connection with you and someone special in your life that you just lost about a year ago. Talk about that.
Yes, it does. Thank you for asking that, Ron. I lost my mom to cancer last year. She battled for 4 long, tough years, and she was my hero in every way. She was just a beautiful lady, and her song, I can remember her sitting at the piano when I was a little girl. I would sit under the piano and listen to her play the song, and I would sit and sing Till the Storm Passes By. Anytime she was going through anything, she just knew Jesus was going to get her through to the other side. When my mom was in her last days, we did not know it, but I told a friend of mine, Jeff Spice, I said, I'd like to put this on my next project, and had him come in and produce the CD. He and my mom were very good friends, and he played, and he's an amazing, accomplished, well-known pianist.
Okay.
And he played this song, and it didn't even really have music, and we just did the end of the song and tagged it to the end of the CD.
Huh.
Well, when I knew my mom was getting, you know, worse, I decided I'm just gonna record this whole song for her. She asked for it, and I went in the studio, and I recorded it on a Wednesday, and the producer had it back to me by Thursday, and I took it to my mom's bedside, and I let her hear it. And she laid there with her eyes closed, and it was Jeff playing. He recorded the whole track and sent it to me in Texas, and
mm-hmm.
I recorded the song, the music, the vocals. She had her eyes closed the whole time, and when she opened her eyes, she never said, "Honey, that was wonderful," or "That was great." She just looked at me, because remember, she's a musician.
Right.
She looked at me and smiled, and she said, "Are you going to put strings on that?" I thought, well, absolutely. So we took that song back into the studio and put strings on it.
Huh.
And that was on a Thursday night when I let her listen to it. And not knowing that she was close to seeing her Savior, she started to transition on Friday.
Wow.
So that was one of the last things that she ever heard.
Yeah.
That she and I shared. And she didn't know, but strings were on that song at her funeral, and we played that song at her funeral.
Hmm.
And I got up to speak right after that song was played, and there was not a dry eye in the house. And I will tell you, I think I was the only dry eye in the house, because I knew I had to be.
Right.
And Gina, my publicist, was there, and she was so moved by everyone's response to the song. She said, "We have to get that on radio." And so we did, and radio across the country was so gracious to pick this song up and play it. And I'm so honored that they did that, not just to encourage people, but to honor my mom and being her favorite song. And she actually got to meet the writer of the song. Mosey Wister wrote the song.
Okay.
And I was with my mom one night when she met the writer of that song, and it was a very precious moment.
Wow.
And then, as you know, Texas, Houston area was hit very hard with the flood this last year.
Yes.
And we actually made a video and put a video together with that song,
Yeah.
Till the Storm Passes By.
Yeah.
And the news stations picked it up and played it. And so it just far exceeded. All I wanted to do was share it with my mom. But this song went on to bless so many more people. And that's just because of the message that He will take care of us until our storm passes by.
That's right. Yeah, I saw the video. I was watching, I guess, late last fall, all the devastation with Harvey. I have a cousin that lives in Houston. Do you have any new projects music-wise coming out?
I do, actually. I'm headed to Nashville later this year. I'm going to be writing a song. It has to do with my mom. One of the last questions that my mom asked me is, "Where are you?" That's what she texted me when she was in the hospital. I had been by her bedside all night.
Mm-hmm.
I got up for just a minute to sneak out to get some ice, and immediately she had picked up her phone and texted, "Where are you?" And throughout my life, I can tell you, I've had that question asked to me many times by my mother. "Where are you? Where are you?" But what a prominent question. And so we are going to look at writing a song with that question in mind. And so that is going to begin a new project that we're going to be working on. And so
wonderful.
I'm excited that I get to honor her again. And as prominent as she was and as important as she was in my life, you know why this mother-daughter conference that we're going to be talking about is so incredibly
right.
important
exactly.
In my life, because she and I really wrote this together because she had a real passion for reaching the hearts of moms who had children to really encourage them to focus on teaching their kids the truth of God's word.
Absolutely. We've got about 2 minutes left. Our audience is going to hear In Her Shoes, which is a phenomenal song. And believe me, as a father of twin girls turning 11 in June, Lord, get me through the next 7 years and beyond. Let's talk about Stand, and then we'll do the song, and then we'll talk about the conferences. Stand, staying balanced with answers for real teen life. This is just phenomenal. You talk about friendship, you talk about dating, you talk about sex, you talk about dealing with the tough stuff, you talk about bullying. Good grief, there's so much bullying on social media. We didn't have this back in the 80s when I was a teenager.
No, we did not. No, you know. They are being hit in a completely different way than we were. And bullying hurt back then. It hurts, I think, even worse now. I was bullied as a child growing up,
yes.
And so I know what that feels like.
Yes.
But you're right. It, that at least was done somewhat in person,
right.
Because we didn't have social media to do it. Now
right.
The kids can bully each other through social media, and they can erase it as fast as they write it, and no one ever knows except that person who was affected.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. The chapters are fantastic. You have these little tidbits in here. Trust is a key characteristic in friendship. I mean, you really go into the tough stuff. You talk about cutting in here. Good grief.
I do. I actually had the privilege. My little assistant who travels with me now,
right.
I'd say little, she'll be 28 next week.
Okay.
I've known her since she was 11.
Right.
But at a very early age, she was one of my students when I was a counselor. And she came to me, and she was very tempted with this and actually went on to, unfortunately, participate in cutting. And I walked that road with her. And so anybody who's walking that, it's a scary road for parents. Feels helpless. But there are answers, and that's why I wrote that, to encourage parents there is help, to encourage the girls that there is help, and to really deal with those issues, to get to the heart of those kids wanting to be heard, needing to feel like they have a voice, needing to feel like they are seen. That's why these kids do that, because they're trying to release the pain that they're feeling in some way, and this is the way that they found that they can do it without it affecting anybody else. But
that's
unfortunately,
true.
We lose a lot of kids every year because they don't realize what they're doing to themselves.
Yeah, it's just horrendous. Probably my favorite chapter was when I was starting to read this, is the book on guys, chapter one.
Yeah.
You hit it out of the park. Just a couple of notes here before we take it to the song. These are right on. It says, you can wait. Never let a guy manipulate you. Which is true. Trust, communication, boundaries, honesty, and values must be before looks. And I love these two sentences. Cute is good. Cute with integrity is great. It is so true. It is so very true. You know, oh, I met this nice growing Christian youth group and everything else, but I don't know if she's a Christian or not. Well, you know what? Get to know her. Don't be a crazy weirdo about it. I once read where Dr. James Dobson said that the human male brain does not get fully developed until age 26.
Correct.
You know,
and so many girls think that just because they met in a youth group that they must be the one.
Right.
They're 12.
Right.
So I have to remind these, you know, it's important that we remind these girls, you know, Proverbs 27:19 says, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. You know, I constantly tell these girls, you are going to find out, and all of us as women know, and you as a man, I'm sure know too, there's a lot of times that we think somebody looks so great and so wonderful, and then when you get older, you look back and think, oh my goodness, thank the Lord,
that's
I did
right.
not get with that person.
That's
and
right.
I tell them, you know, their life, what it is right now, will often reflect what they're going to be later on in life.
That's
and
right.
too many times as girls, we're in the fixing business, and we're going to move in, and we're going to rescue them, and we're going to help, we're going to missionary date, and we're going to take them to church and let them know Jesus. I say, no, honey, you date them
yeah.
once they've found Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not your job to get them to
exactly.
Jesus. You can be their friend and get them to Jesus, but until they know Jesus and their life reflects that,
that's right.
you don't need them in your life.
That's
and
exactly
so we
right.
do talk a lot about date guys and the characteristics of guys and why that's important and how manipulative that girls can be manipulative too, and we talk about that, but how manipulative a dating relationship can be when one person wants something that the other one doesn't. And so that's why I cover all that in this book, so that we know how to, you know, to work through our issues with guys. When is the appropriate age to date? When
right.
are you ready to date? You know,
right.
just because we're a certain age doesn't always mean we're ready to go on a date.
That's right.
And so I cover that in here, too. What's
excellent.
The appropriate time that we're ready to to go out into to meet the opposite sex and spend time with them. And I talk about group dating, why that's important versus individual dating. Group dating is when they go out and there's a safety in numbers. And so you can watch them interact with other people. You can watch their responses. If they get mad, that's a red flag. If they're controlling, checking somebody's phone, that's a red flag.
That's right.
But we don't want to excuse those kind of behaviors, and they may not do it to us up front because they're putting their best foot forward. But we can, in group dates, we can watch the dynamics among other people.
That's well said. Let's take another quick break and have you hear a powerful song from Shannon. This is called In Her Shoes. And on the other side of this break, we'll talk about upcoming conferences that Shannon will be doing as well. Here's Shannon Perry with In Her Shoes on Duncan's Garage on Dragon Digital Radio. Shoes. And you just heard a wonderful selection by Shannon Perry. It's entitled In Her Shoes, right here on Duncan's Garage. Shannon, let's just talk about this song and talk about the video itself. The song is powerful and the video has a wonderful ending. Talk about that if you would.
Well, my mom actually helped me write that song, and that's the biggest blessing that I've had as far as that song goes, besides it reaching other people. And, of course, you know, at the very end, she actually comes out the door to greet me on that video. And
right.
So that's a very special video. We play that during our mother-daughter conferences called In Her Shoes, and
Yes. There's
not a dry eye in the house when we're done.
Well, I know there's one coming up in April, correct?
There is. There are several coming up this year. We'll be in Texas. We're going to be in Oklahoma. We're planning one in Indiana right now.
Wow.
We travel all over the country with a topic called In Her Shoes. And what this is a one-day conference for moms and teen girls ages 12 to 18. And it is a life-changing conference for so many moms and daughters. We've been in Tennessee, Maryland. We've been all over the place.
Huh.
So many life changes have happened as a result of these. It's a fun day. It's only $15 a person. Lunch is usually included with that. But the best part of this is that we're really tapping into the places where moms and teen daughters are dealing with most, which is areas that we've mentioned earlier from
right.
the book,
Stan.
Right. And we have a great time. We do a fashion show of what not to wear. We have breakout sessions.
Right.
We have a very special time at the very end of the conference where these moms and daughters talk to each other, and there's tears, there's hugs, and I lead them through a guided discussion, and it really changes lives. And proof being that one lady saw me on a CBS interview, and she had not seen her daughter for two weeks. She was a runaway, but she said, I came, I invited her, I don't know if she'll even show up. And right as I was beginning the conference, this young lady walked in and sat down next to her mom, and very clearly not happy to be there. But by the end of the conference, not only did this girl get saved at the conference, she and her mom walked out arm in arm. And
wow.
So those are the kind of things that we're seeing as a result of the mother-daughter conference In Her Shoes. So
Excellent.
If anyone is listening and they would like to host one of these events at their church, they can definitely go to inhershoestour.com or shannonperry.com to find out more information or how to contact us about hosting one of those.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that. We've got about 2 minutes left. You're writing a new book. Is that what you would tell me? But you can't give out too much detail.
I have finished the book, and thank you, Jesus, that it's finished. But I can tell you, it is a book that I did as a result of women asking for it. This book was in the making and in the asking for 2 years. People were asking around the country. And while I'm not allowed to give the name out yet because
right.
the company hasn't even released it.
Okay.
But what I can tell you is it is going to address 12 areas where women struggle the most. That they say that are the toughest areas that they face in life.
Huh.
And it's scriptural answers, but it's also practical answers. I am a counselor by trade, and so I incorporate scriptural counseling in that. And how do we get through the tough stuff in life, and how do we get through that victoriously with the truths of God's Word? And so that's the basis of the new book.
That's fantastic. Any other upcoming events, or it's pretty much just the In Her Shoes tour that you're doing right now? Any other solo events that you have coming up?
I teach a conference for women also called If the Shoe Fits and Pursuing God. We go from
okay.
shoes to purses. Each conference has four topics in them. We can do one-hour events. We can do weekend retreats,
gotcha.
All-day conferences. And all of that can be found at shannonperry.com. But I can tell you, I'm out on the road for the next 6 weeks, actually.
Wow.
Doing mother-daughter conferences, doing conferences for women. And it's just an exciting time.
Sounds like it. Again, your website is shannonperry.com, shannonperry.com. Shannon, thank you so much for the time today. It was absolutely fantastic to get to know you. And we'll have to have you back in the garage sometime soon.
Ron, I would be honored, and thank you so much, and thank you for all that you do.
Well, thank you very much. Her website is shannonperry.com, shannonperry.com. Her videos are just top-notch. We're going to be linking to a couple of those on this podcast as well. That's going to do it for me, Ron Stafford. Thanking you very much for being right there. As always, make it a great day and an even better tomorrow.